I want to say again now, we're not trying to prove whether I'm greater than somebody else. That's not my motive. That's not my desire. We're told in the scriptures to begin with that the ministry has made the offscouring of the earth to start with, and that they're despised and rejected. And Jesus said, if they've hated you, they'll hate me. And all these things will they do to you for my name's sake. So you know to begin with that it's a rejected lie. As far as people preferring ministers, there's some that believe that Brother Terrell is the greatest, some Brother Walden is the greatest, some Brother Allen's the greatest, some Brother Branham. And just, I mean, that's always been and it always will be. But we're not here to prove who is the greatest, because I think he is the greatest. Now, anybody could be greater than I am, and I wouldn't dispute over anyone being greater than I am, because they are greater. Let's read in St. Luke, the 11th chapter, and the 27th verse. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Now, I didn't know that I was going to read that tonight, but the Lord gave it to me, and I felt that I was to read that little passage of Scripture. And let me talk with you now just a little bit. And as I say, it's hard to even get the words out by vocal means when your throat gets like this. But let me talk with you just a little bit and drop in a few thoughts here and there to encourage you in the things of Christ. First of all, I think you will agree that some very strange things are taking place. As a matter of fact, I noticed this afternoon, I happened to notice a paper, and I didn't read it, but I just noticed that Jeannie Dixon had made some predictions, and it sounded like that it had to do with the personalities, you know, and a number of other things. Whereas it sounded as though she might be contemplating in her mind, you know, perhaps some change of some sort that is about to take place. I didn't read it, but I perceive that maybe she is thinking about something radical coming about. A lot of her predictions have been right. I believe I brought it out here one night concerning predictions from different people and different sources. A lot of people, you know, they say, well, I don't believe that that's God, Brother Pike, they'll say. I don't feel like that's God saying those things. But how many of you understand that God has His way in the good and the evil? No matter what is said or what is done at any time, God always has His way in the good and in the evil. God creates both. God works all things after the counsel of His own will. God does everything to please Himself. And of course, we just have to learn to be pleased. If we're not pleased, God isn't going to change it for us. So God isn't going to conform to our own personal desires. Therefore, there's only one alternative of life, and that is for us to conform to His way of life. The Bible said that we are to conform to the stature of Jesus Christ, as I brought out this morning, who is the object of worship. How many know the word God means object of worship? He was God. He was the object that God placed in the earth to be worshipped. And so then, I see where we have need to conform to God's way of life. Do you see a need for it? Do you see a need in the church for people to conform to the ways of the Lord? How do you see a need for that? Alright? Then in all of our teachings, all of our instructions, everything that we tell you, what is the purpose of it? It is to cause you to conform to God's way of life. Is that right? How many of you know that they've just discovered oil over in Israel? You know that? Isn't that a coincidence in that right now we say that the oil of God is just beginning to come forth to the nations as the breaking of a new well? I said that this time it would not be the revival to the church, but it would be to the spiritual Jew, that it would spring up in the midst of them. Is that right? So then, the oil that is among the Arabs, which they have had all the time, will run out. But the oil that Israel has struck will continue to last, because the foolish virgins was without oil at the midnight cry. The Lord has already let America give out to show that He is reverting back to the eastern country. And that is why that the Lord has allowed the preeminence in the oil among the Arab nations. Is that right? All of a sudden Israel has discovered oil. And they found out that there's just, as we use the word, bukus of it. How many remember that I said a long time ago that Israel would all of a sudden come to the front and that the wealth would just spring up everywhere and all of the nation of Israel would blossom like a rose and she'd be the richest country in all of the world? Now, what is going to bring the evil thought into the mind of Gog and Magog concerning Israel? What will bring that thought into the mind of Gog and Magog? That all well, for one thing, the riches of Israel, the shortage there is in all throughout the nation, will cause every eye to lean toward Israel. I said that the standards would be changed from gold standards to oil standards. Is that right? I said the reason for that is because gold is typical of faith. And that the capitalistic nation, which represented faith, would be gone out. And we would have no need for faith. Because if God is the great stream of life that has sprang up within us, the all of life, then we don't have any need for faith. Because we've got life. Is that right? Faith, it pleased God that men should be saved by the grace of God through believing. That's what faith is for. Faith is the channel by which grace can come. Is that right? It really doesn't come through your believing at all. It really comes through the believing of Jesus Christ. The Lord's faith, that is called the faith, has brought God's glory and presence down into the earth. And all we do with our faith is just tap on to it. Is that right? You got a transformer sitting on a pole out here. It took the light company to bring that transformer out here and just set it here. So then we didn't bring the light. All we do is just tap on to the transformer. Is that right? And we get our light. So then Jesus is the great transformer of God, Calvary. And He brought it into the earth. All we do is latch on to it. You follow me? All is life. God is the great stream of oil. He's that great stream. All we do is tap onto it. Jesus is the well of God. Now you say, where do you get that? The Bible said, you shall draw waters out of the wells of salvation with joy. Jesus is God's great well of living water. He's God's great well of oil. And out of Jesus comes the oil of gladness, the oil of life. Is that right? So all of a sudden, the oil springs up over in Jerusalem. Why? Right here at the very time when the Pope calls it Holy Year. All of a sudden, this very year, the oil springs up among the Jews. What does it represent? I made the statement so many times that if you'll watch Israel, that you'll see exactly what's happening to the church. See, God has been dealing with the world. Is that right? He's been constantly, continually dealing with the world. It's been a revival out in the world. And I said that all of that had gone out. And the crisis hit, and sure enough, it went right down. Is that right? Then I said there would be a new thing that would come forth. And all of a sudden, a new thing has come forth. And all well in Israel. A new thing has sprang up. It didn't spring up in the world because all of that was finished and over. Their oil is gone. The foolish virgin's light went out because they didn't have any oil. Is that right? But all of a sudden, there has been a new well that has come forth. Whereas God said, this is God's new business. All of a sudden, the well that went to the world. Now, Brother Branham, many years ago, way back yonder, there was a well that was open to the world. How many of you know that? It went out through Brother Osmond, Billy Graham, Brother Roberts, Armstrong, and many hundreds of others. But all of a sudden, that well closed out. Now then, there was another well to spring up. But it wasn't to spring up to the world. It was to spring up as a fountain open in the house of David. Is that right? In Bethlehem, in Jerusalem. It was to open up. And this great well was to be an everlasting well. You can be sure that Israel has got plenty of oil. That is going to cause all nations to come against Jerusalem. The Bible said in that day, all nations will gather in against Jerusalem. Now I want to ask you a question. Isn't it strange that the oil well never really got a reputation until after Kissinger acted up as a broken covenant, you might say, against Israel? Isn't that strange? You know why the Lord let that happen? Because Israel and America has been just like that. And God saw the deceitfulness of the American people's heart and the deceitfulness of the government and knew that they would rob Israel through deceit of everything that she had. And so God forced the hands of the American people that they might show their true colors in the way that Kissinger mocked Israel. So that after that, Israel might know where she was standing. That when God endowed her with a good dowry, that the American people and other nations couldn't come in there with flattery and take it away from them. Isn't it another strange thing that God never let her wealth really appear until she had perfected the atom bomb to have a means of protection? See, even a little nation can ward off an entire world with those kind of powers. Years ago, a little nation didn't have much chance because it was mostly arms, going to arms. It was a multitude of people. But not now. One little nation can stand her own grounds by having the bomb. So then, it will cause all nations through Kissinger and men like Kissinger that are called king of the nations. It will cause a league with all nations, whereas these nations will gather themselves together to go in against Israel and take what they want. For the Bible said in that day an evil thought will enter into the mind of Gog and Magog, and they'll say one to another, let us go up against the city, the unwalled city that doesn't have any defense, and let us take for ourselves a spoil. Is that right? That's why that at this time, from everywhere, all around, they'll gather together against this little group of people here, not to come in with you, not to do like you're doing, not to conform to it, nor to follow the teaching, nor the teacher, or anybody else, but to take for themselves a spoil. That's what they come for. Now, you say, what do you mean? I mean, when everything dries up, preachers has got to have something to preach, or the people will walk off and leave them. So then, if their oil gives out, their light goes out. Their congregation is in darkness. So then they start searching to see if there's any more oil that somebody might share with them. Is that right? A great thing is taking place. How many of you understand that? It's a great thing that's taking place. Israel, at last, has struck oil. At last, there is an overflow and an abundance coming to her. Her gardens are springing up. Her land is becoming what? It's becoming Canaan. What is it doing? It's moving toward the millennium. Is that right? It's coming up like Canaan. It's going to be the most beautiful, the most desired place in all of the world. What a beautiful place. The place where Jesus walked. The place where the apostles walked. The tomb of Rachel, and all the great sights to be seen, all of the historical things that we've studied about, all are in Jerusalem. One of the most beautiful lands in the world, the Bible land, the Holy Land. And it's going to be the very place that the Antichrist will search for. I brought out some thoughts this morning concerning the holy place of your heart. The oil that is springing up in Jerusalem has to do with what I was talking about this morning. Oil represents the Spirit, while gold represents faith. Salvation comes by faith. It was needful that God have in types and shadows a capitalistic government which had its capital built or based upon gold. Is that right? Its standards had to be gold because it was a move of faith unto salvation. But I say again, the church doesn't live that way. The church lives off of the Spirit of God. They are born of the Spirit. Therefore, when the church comes in, the revival to the world is over. And Jerusalem is typical of the church. Are you listening to me now? Look at it. Where did civilization spring up? I've dropped in a few of these thoughts before. Where did it spring up? It sprang up over in that country where the Arabs is at. Is that right? Civilization sprang up in Egypt. Then it encircled the world. So then, what kind of people are there in the world? Egyptians. They are Egyptians. Now you say, where do you get that? I brought it out where the Lord said, when the iniquity of the Egyptians is fulfilled, then I will visit my people and I will take them out by a mighty hand of deliverance. Is that right? And so then he raised up a deliverer that was called Moses. And he went down at that time and he brought the people out of Egypt. How do you remember me teaching that the carnal mind is Egypt? The garlic, the onions, the lust of the flesh, all those things. The types and shadows we use to bring it out. How that Brother Branham out in California brought him one lap of the way. Egypt. People are relative to the Egyptians. And so then if life in the perverted form sprang up in Egypt, then all the way around it comes right back to Egypt. Is that right? When it finishes its cycle here in the Western world, which typifies the woman, it goes back to the male factor, which is the beast, back in the Holy Land, which is the garden. Is that right? So does the true life that springs up as salvation from the Jew, after it finishes its great cycle of world evangelism, it goes right back to the Holy Land, to the Jew. Is that right? So then it springs up as all, because when God turns back to the Jew, it means that He is again dealing with the church. When He turns away from the Jew, it is an indication that God has given grace to the world. Is that right? You say, well, when the Lord cut the Jews off at Calvary, He began to deal with the church, Brother Pike. The Bible said we're killed all the day long. Is that right? We're killed all the day long. The only way He's been dealing with the church is the fact that we're made the sacrificial lamb for all the world. But God has been dealing with the world. You say, where do you get that? Paul said, if the casting away of the Jew be the reconciling the world. Didn't say the dealing with the church. Said, if it be the reconciling of the world. Is that right? If the casting away of the Jew be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jew be but life from the dead? Now, life from the dead is dealing with the church. So then, dealing with the church, Christ, the resurrection in the life that we brought out this morning, dealing with the church, Jesus, the Lord, turning back, opening up a fountain in the house of David, bringing forth a great spiritual well of oil, the oil of gladness, where He said He would restore the oil of gladness to the church and adorn us with the righteousness of the saints, which is the body of Jesus Christ. Bring to us the oil of His gladness. So a great encompass, a great cycle has taken place. And here we are coming back to our homeland, strayed off from the mind of Jesus, gone away from the Spirit of God. But all of a sudden, here we come back to the mind of Jesus. Here we come back into our homeland. Here we come back to where, as David said, we can reach and take our hearts off of the willows, coming out of Babylon, to where we can play and sing again to God. Is that right? Upon our 10-string instruments, make a joyful noise to the Lord of hosts. What a wonderful thing. A great turn of event. Now, Antichrist, which is the denominational system, will see the joy of the saints, and they'll get curious. The intellectual, the Bible scholars, the PhD, the doctors of divinity, they'll get curious about the move of God. Always they've done that. There's never been a denominational system unless there was an original thing in the beginning. There can't be a counterfeit unless there be something that is in its originality. Is that right? So then, every time there's a move of God, from the move of God comes forth the counterfeit. So then the PhDs and the doctors of divinity and all of the scribes, the Pharisees, they watch for something to spring up. Now, they've got a lot of denominational wells. We spoke of that here a few days ago. But God's got a good well here at the Lands called Mizpah. A well springing up. This one out of the innermost being. Waters, living waters, springing up. So then the PhDs are watching. So that when this thing comes forth and their light goes out, they're going to try to come against you for a spoil. All they can do is form their ecclesia, close in on you, and try to take what you got, which is Naboth's vineyard. You remember the teaching on it? Jezebel and Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. At the same time, in the religious perspective, which is the Protestant age, the third dimensional projecting of God, at the same time in this religious perspective, that denominations gather in around God's elect,
so will the nations in the natural perspective, the first dimensional projecting, gather in around Jerusalem. You follow me? Because they parallel together, skipping the physical dimension, and from end to end, you see what I mean? Nations in the natural represent denominations in the religious sense, which is in the spiritual or the angelic part of it. Are you listening? Listening to what I'm saying? In the natural, nations are a type, when you run your revelation, nations are a type of denominations. And you say, where do you get that? Because in the religious perspective, everything in its type has to be a religious thing. In the natural perspective, everything has to be a natural type. In the physical dimension, everything has to be a physical type of human anatomy. Because that's the beast realm. So when you run your revelation to see what the Lord's doing, you've got to make the right comparisons. So in looking at the revelation, I see the nations gather in against Jerusalem. Is that right? All of the nations will come together in a league. They'll get together and they'll say, well, are we going to let one little nation own all the wealth of the world and the rest of the world go lacking? They'll say, that's not reasonable. For as it was in the days when the high priest made the statement that one man should die rather than all the people that crucified him. Is that right? Afraid that Rome was going to come in and kill the people because of what Jesus was doing, they decided that they just killed Jesus. But God working all things after the counsel of his own will, why, the Bible said he didn't know that he was prophesying, but he was prophesying that Jesus should die for the sins of the world. So then, it is a true fact that the nations will form a league and go in as Gog and Magog, which is in the sands innumerable. Is that right? Will go in against Jerusalem to take a spoil for themselves. At the same time, the denominations will gather against the spiritual Jew to take a spoil for themselves, to completely do away with that which is referred to as the spiritual Jew, so that they can take over. I should look just a little bit at some prophetical utterance concerning Daniel. What about Daniel? In Daniel's prophecy, it says that when Antichrist comes up, it said tidings out of the east will trouble him. Is that right? Look at Kissinger, called king of the nations. Everybody gathered in there with him. But out of the east, out of Jerusalem, comes the tidings that troubles him. Is that right? The tidings out of Jerusalem comes forth to trouble Kissinger. Because Kissinger wants Jerusalem to give up the little Naboth vineyard, so to speak, the little parcel of ground. And he calls them a stupid nation because they won't do it. But they say it's an inheritance from God. They say our father Abraham gave it to us. And they feel like that it would just be a sin against God for them to give that up to the heathen countries. Is that right? In other words, they feel for the natural just like we do, Jim, by the spiritual. How many of you would compromise just a little bit with the devil? The devil said, I don't want much of your life. I just want enough of it for you to watch I Love Lucy or play the jukebox or smoke a cigarette. Don't want too much of your life if you'll just give me a little of the ground. But they won't do it. So the devil says you're stupid because you won't do it. Is that right? He said, I'm willing to work with you, be as religious as you want to. But it looked like you could at least be sociable. If a man come to your house, give him an ashtray. But see, we don't feel that way, do we? We want all of it. We're not trying to be greedy. But we want all of it. God gave it to us. It's our inheritance. We don't want to share it that way. I don't want to get to preaching and hollering at you because I'm hoarse. But anyway, what I'm saying is that the nations will gather together and they'll go against Jerusalem. Why is that? Because tidings out of the east will trouble him. It will be that a man-child is to be born. Kissinger says he's the king of the nations. But at the same time, they'll say, well, we've got a rabbi coming. We're looking for a rabbi. Is that right? All right. Now let's look at it just a minute. I made the statement. I said, like a Joseph. Like a Joseph. I said that Kissinger would all of a sudden get familiar with the Pope of Rome. Did he do it? I said the Pope would send for him, want to get to him. Did he do it? I said that what they would do would be come together and get control of all the food in the world. Is that right? And through that, they would work it down to a computerized system, to where they can account for everything in every nation at any time. I showed my wife today. We walked through a store up yonder, and I showed her every just stacks of cereal and everything laying on the shelves. I hardly ever even go into a store. And I said, Betty, look at it. Just stacks of them, numbers, computer numbers on everything. Everything. See, at the same time that the Lord is bringing in His flock, Antichrist is doing the same thing. So then, if the great computer, which is the satanic mind, is gathering His people, then the great computer of the mind of Christ is gathering His people. One's forming one headquarters, one's forming another headquarters. So then, I found out just recently, I don't remember who told me, but that the Pope of Rome and Kissinger had done exactly what we said, that they had set up some kind of food bank. I don't remember what it was. Now somebody could explain it. They was telling me about it. But they've set up a food bank and a food headquarters, and out of all the places, it's to be in Rome. Can you imagine that? Is that true, Bill? Bill Myman wanted to tell me. See, they're setting it up in Rome. I made the statement, I said it will work through a religious system as a communist policy. Is that right? All things common, because capitalism would go out. How many remember me saying that? I said that God's policy is all things common. And a communistic policy is the same thing. The only difference is Satan's at the head of one of them and Jesus at the head of the other. I said that it would work through a religious system. Already, I understand, if it was Bill, he'll remember this. Whoever told me about the food headquarters also related to me that they want to work it through the churches. Who told me that? Somebody read it out of the paper. Said they're wanting to work it through the churches. Oh, Brother Mitch told me that. That's right, it was Mitch. Is that right, Mitch? Going to work it through the churches? They're going to work it through the churches. They want the churches. Now, don't you see that, folks? Come on now, wake up. Don't you see what they're doing? Why do they want to work it through the churches? Why not through the government? Because the churches with Rome is the government. They believe in church over state. That is their government. Why do they want to work it through a religious system? Because if they do that, they can make everybody take the number 666 through a form of worship to make them worship the Antichrist. Is that right? All right, it's typical of the spiritual food. If there is a Rome that's got a food bank and a headquarters where through a religious system, there is going a natural religious system will have to produce natural food. There's got to be a Christian headquarters with spiritual food and a spiritual system that will produce spiritual food. They will force everybody to come to their Antichrist, which is the Pope of Rome, but the system that God has will force everybody to come to Jesus, which is God's Joseph. Hallelujah. You see what I'm talking about? Is it working exactly that way? That's the way the Lord said it would work. It's coming out that way, ain't it? Everything moving right down in its system. It's no wonder that Jeannie Dixon is making predictions. I imagine her computer's just about gone crazy. That's right. I heard she'd been making some predictions and she ain't getting it anymore. She's predicted it's not coming to pass. The Bible said in that day, all of the wise men, all of the magicians, all the diviners, all the soothsayers, he said they'll be confounded that day. In other words, their computer will go crazy. They won't know what's going on anymore. That makes you feel good, don't it? You think about Jesus. Praise God. When all their computers give out, ours will be working right. Reminds me of XCRF. It's so strong. When it comes in, sometimes it makes the rest of the station go crazy. Pushes its way through. Well, I'm going to close in just a few minutes. I wasn't going to hold you, but just a few minutes tonight. But how many of you understand what we're saying? We're coming down to a real hour of crisis. Jerusalem has discovered oil, and inasmuch as they have discovered oil, then that means there's something in the wind for the church. How do you know God works everything after His own will? Can we take just a minute here and drop a thought? I brought this out before, but oil represents light, so I'm not straying too far off of the subject here, so don't get lost. Now just say this and try to close. How do you know that Benjamin Franklin discovered the electricity? I believe that's right. All right, now, how did he do it? I've related this before, but I want you to see something. How did he do it? The Lord took the foolish and abased things, said the children would lead the parents. Is that right? What did he do? He went and got Junior's kite. Well, who had ever thought God was going to give the most precious thing the world ever knew through Junior's kite? Can't you just imagine a grown man out there in his day just pulling on a kite string? Everybody laughing at him. Me and Betty rode down the road one day and a fellow was out on the side of the road. I believe he was flying a kite, wasn't he? He had stopped his car, got out on the side of the road just by himself, maybe his little dog, and he was flying a kite. I think he had on his shorts, you know, or whatever it was, standing out there. And I thought, well, God, what in the world is he doing? Betty said, George said, what's wrong with that man? I said, I don't know unless he's doing what the world calls his thing. I guess that's, you know, flying a kite. That's all I could figure out. Because I couldn't tell what he was doing it for. They looked kind of silly, but I guess he was happy with it, so what no need of me complaining about it. But here, Benjamin Franklin got the kite, put it up in the elements. And I want you to notice this now. That kite, what is a kite for? Why did he have to use a kite? Because God has chosen the foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. See, he couldn't do it any other way. It had to be a kite. Now, why a kite? Because a kite is between heaven and earth. A kite is a cross. How many of you know that? Somebody said, but Brother Pike, they used three sticks in some of the kites. I know that they used to have a three-stick cross. How many of you know that? Had just like the old kite. Now, the cross, the kite, if light comes into the earth, then it has to come by means of the cross. Is that right? Was there ever any light in the earth until Calvary? Couldn't have been, because the Bible said it was dark back there. But then from Calvary coming on over, was there light? It had to be light in the evening time. Is that right? You say, what makes you think Calvary is the evening time? Because Peter said it's the end of the world. You are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. So then the kite had to be like that. It had to be a foolish thing, which was a cross, that by means of the cross came the light. Is that right? See, the light coming down. Darkness could not get a hold of the light. Are you listening? The Bible said that the light shined in the darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. Is that right? Now, if light is a revelation, then Paul said the eyes of the understanding being enlightened, you comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width. But the carnal mind, which is darkness, couldn't get a hold of that revelation. It couldn't comprehend the Spirit of life. For it shined in the carnal mind. It shined, but it couldn't be comprehended. How many of you know that darkness is considered a form of light too? How many of you know that? You sure? The Bible said, if that light within you be darkness, that's judgment. Is that right? If your eye be single, not double-minded, eyes of understanding, just one mind, said you'll have, you've got to be full of light. Is that right? So then, using a cross, the cross being between heaven and earth, and us having a contact with the kite. Is that right? Like somebody said, well, my kite went out of sight, but I know it's still up there because I feel the tugging on the line. So, have you ever done that? When I was a little boy, my mother back there worked in a mill, and she'd bring me home kite string and just a whole ball of it, you know, a great big ball of yarn. And I'd take what you call a little kite, straw baby, whatever you want to call it. Well, I'd send it out of sight. I'd just take sometimes hours to unwind that fine little thread and just keep on. I didn't know where it was. It looked to me like it was miles and miles and miles. I hadn't seen it in a long time. But I just keep on feeding it because I could feel it tugging. I thought it was still up there. You ever done that? So then the kite, being the cross, we have a connection with it. That string that runs up there to it, it's a lifeline coming from Calvary down to us. The little boy's just thrilled. Every time he feels it tugs, he just jumps up and down and has a fit. You ever done that? That's his lifeline. I've had my little Danny, he'd just be just about turning tumblesaults. He said, Daddy, see him a kite. See him a kite, Daddy. Well, anyway, I don't know whether you've ever done this or not. And I'm talking about the foolish and the base things of the world. The Lord speaks to us in everything, don't He? But we fail to hear. He hides it from the eyes of the intellectual to make it revelation unto junior, babe, such as will learn. Have you ever done this? Take a little piece of paper, slip it on your kite, and flip a string. Go up a little, flip a string, go up a little. You say, hey, what you doing? So I'm sending a message. You ever done that? I've done it many times. Want to talk to God and just get on your knees and flip the lifeline and send Him a message. That's right. All of the things of God. But did you notice there was one thing outstanding about what Benjamin Franklin did? The Lord gave Peter a key. Is that right? There wasn't but one way to really get that electricity. And that was to get that key right there on that lifeline. Is that right? That when that electricity, which was the light up in the heaven, struck that kite, it would run down that cord and hit that key. Is that right? Coming down through there to let the people know that in types and shadows, from the time that light come into the earth, electric light, remember you cook by it, you heat by it, everything's by it. Even your own body is, how many know that your own body is nothing but electrons? Is that right? Full of electricity. You ever took your coat off or your shirt in the dark and you go take it off and just pop, crackle, and you just see sparks fly? I've done it. So then from the time that that light, which was the natural light, was to come down into the earth, the Lord wanted the people to know that that was the open door in heaven. You follow me? Peter's key that opened the door. And who was the door? Jesus said, I'm the door. That's why when He said, you're the Christ, the Lord said, Peter, you just opened the door. Here's a key. Is that right? No, not exactly. He just said, Peter, you discovered the door. Here's a key. Unlock it over here at Pentecost. He said, I give to you the key. You done found the door anyway. So then, to let us know by a foolish little thing that light comes through Calvary. That all of the light in the earth is through the act of Calvary, and that with the kite in the heavens, then it is an unlocked door. I don't see why in the world the churches, you know, being so formalistic, I don't see why they didn't get them about 10,000 kites and put something on there about Jesus and fill the heavens with it. That would have been the right way to have done it. Put something up there that they could read for half a mile off, talking about Jesus, because he was the open door. So then, the light, to bring the light into the earth. There's a lot of other things that perhaps you yourself will fit together that the Spirit will bring to you that we don't have time to bring out. Some more things that I understand concerning light in the kite. But I believe there's enough there to make you understand what I'm saying tonight. That if that open door was typical of a spiritual thing that was to take place. How many know that Franklin means free man? And it was Benjamin. How many know that's a Jew? How many know that Jesus was reckoned as a Jew at Calvary? How many know that when the Jew was rejected, or rather Christ was rejected, the door was rejected, that it wasn't until the end time when John discovered the open door that Benjamin was to come in? How many know that it was when Joseph had already married down there the bride Asenath, that with the Egyptian bride being sealed in, then there came Benjamin? How many of you remember that? That's why that I said Brother Grady would come in at this time. I said he had to do with Benjamin. How many remember that? Benjamin coming in. And what did Joseph do? He gave him five times what he gave anybody else. Is that right? Coming in at that time, Jesus had been so long away from his brothers until when he sees them over there, when the Jews that he come up with was born among, after about 2,000 years of being separated from them, he's just going to leave the Gentiles. And he's going to go over there and he's going to have him some fellowship. You know, a lot of people don't think of Jesus as being a man like I'm a man. They don't think of him like that. But he wants fellowship just like anybody else. God said, come and let us reason together. Let us talk it over. So when Benjamin comes in, Jesus is going to have some fellowship. So then at this point, this is the sealing in of the bride, the oil well, because the only light they ever knew was oil light back there. Even the old candles that run up through a stick, the seven candlesticks, that was oil running up through a wick that kept them things burning. Is that right? The oil going back to Israel so that it could cause all nations to gather in around Israel to bring on the battle of Armageddon. Is that right? Now, I could go on tonight and tell you how it will come about, when it will come about, and you'd understand better, but I'm not going to try to do that. I just wanted to bring this one thing out, the little thing in connection there about the kite that you can see through Calvary, why there's electric lights in the world, and why it is the coming in of Benjamin, in that it was Benjamin Franklin. It was the Jew that rejected it, and yet it was the Jew that brought it into the world. Therefore, the Jews is due to get it in the end time. You follow me? A lot more that we could say that would clarify, but I believe you understand what I'm saying. Let's everybody stand together. I think maybe Brother Taylor, he notices things like this quite a bit, but I think he remembers the day that they put up the flag, not the flag, the kite with the dragon on it. Then there went up another kite that had to do with something else. I believe it was a Superman kite or something. And it wasn't long before the dragon came back down. Got booted out of heaven. A lot of revelation in the world, ain't there? The Lord has hid it partly in Junior's kite. I won't never forget. I was busy over at a desk one day, and Brother Taylor was too.
My little David, just a little old boy, had set him up a little desk, and he was just scribbling away. And I wasn't noticing him because he's a little old bitty toddler over there, and he wanted to be like Daddy, you know. He was just scribbling. And then he got to annoying me. He got to aggravate me. And I just told him he had to be quiet, you know, and I was just going to make him quit. And all of a sudden, something hit me. And I looked and saw the revelation of what he was doing, and I thought, well, my dear God, what he's doing more important than what I'm doing. So it made me think different. The Lord using the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise. When you think you know something, you don't know something as you ought to know. Let's sing a little chorus together. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, oh, please don't pass me by. Sing it with me. Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? While on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. You know, how many remember when I preached the sermon on the little glass slipper? I don't condone storybooks, unless they're God stories. I don't condone fiction, fairy tales. But I'm just saying, in that you have been exposed to them in your times, God allowed that to show you that He is in everything. There is nothing that you can bring to me, whether good or evil, that I can't show you that God was in it, that God had something to do with it, and that He allowed it, because God is in everything. I know I said something one time about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and somebody thought I was silly. Spoke about Superman and Batman. Somebody thought I was silly. But later, they saw it come out in some leading magazines. I spoke of Batman, what it had to do with, how it had to do with the Carolinas, Black Mountain, what it had to do with Billy Graham, Bat Cave, what it had to do with Life Magazine. I spoke about it, and I said, blindness, in part, has happened to Israel, so to speak. The bats, evil spirits, has gotten into the form of life that God set up in the garden. I said, that'll bring it to an end. And I spoke about Life's Magazine. And Life's Magazine had been out for many long years. All of a sudden, they'd done away with Life Magazine. Is that right? It was so strong that the papers published that even the presidency had something to do with taking a bat light and putting it up on the side of the building at that period of time for some special reason. Published a piece about Superman
and made Lady Bird and Johnson, Superman and Supergirl flying through the air. Said he was looking for a greater society. Not as foolish as people think. Little Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, which shows the seven church ages in the church very plainly. And the old bewitching thing where Paul said, who hath bewitched him to look into the mirror to believe that she was the prettiest. But the mirror of God's law always answers back that God's Snow White is the fairest of them all. Is that right? Because she's washed whiter than any fuller soap could ever wash her. She's washed in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, the body of the Lord, the church, the fairest of them all. Is that right? Nobody will ever be fairer than that. That's the way it is. Every little thing testifying to Jesus. When we sing, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior," remember, it might even be Snow White he'll speak to you about. But if you'll listen, the foolish and abased thing of the world, he'll tell you some secrets. Let's sing it again. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Can't you imagine how bad the Methodists and the Baptists, the Presbyterian, and all the bewitching religions of the world feel along with the Catholic system? When every time they look into the perfect mirror of God's law, and they've done everything they can to pretty up things, but it always answers back that them little Pentecostal Jesus name people are the fairest of them all. Don't you know that upsets them, gets them all out of sorts? But it is true. It is true. Can you sing it again? Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? While on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Sing it again. Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? While on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. The old carnal mind of Cain and the educational system of the world, they say we've polished it up and we've made it bright, pretty. And Lear would say, I know my husband, he'll want me now. But Jacob said, Rachel looks so good. Abel looks so much better. So much better. It was like the little glass slipper that we preached on. God's Cinderella. That always had the dirty end of things. Turned out to be the beautiful princess of God.
Is that right? One day God will come. The great Prince Charming of your life will come. When He does, you'll be glad you've been His Cinderella. That's right, you'll be glad. You won't be sorry then for the dishpan hands. You won't be sorry that you've been poor and had to live down on nobody's street. Because He's going to take you over to Glory Avenue. He's got a mansion all waiting for you. All you got to do is, the sermon said, is be sure the little glass slipper will fit your feet. How do you know the foot's a symbol of the soul? Is that right? Just make sure that little slipper wouldn't fit anybody. Just certain little foot. It had to be made a certain way. That soul's got to be prepared just exactly right. Or the preparation of the gospel won't fit it. How many of you know that shoes represent the preparation of the gospel? The days of Ruth, the house of a loose shoe. We can't be loose in here, can we? Can't be loose in here. If you couldn't redeem it in that day, they called you the house of a loose shoe. Set there before the 10 elders of the city, which had to do with those 10 commandments, the law, that stood as a witness that you couldn't perform your duty to have your inheritance, that you never fulfilled it, through the love of God. Is that right? For love fulfilleth the law. The house of a loose shoe, preparation, loose, too loose in the spirit. But already, reach down, tie that shoe, you know, the old-fashioned way. It's like a little gift all bundled up and ready to go. Is that right? Just a certain preparation. That's the only way that preparation will fit. The shoe of God, that's the only way it'll fit, is for the soul to be just right by. It's got to be just right. Let's pray for these. Father of heaven, in Jesus' name, Lord, Thou knowest how unworthy we are. So unworthy we are, Jesus. But Thou art worthy, Jesus. I thank You in Jesus' name, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I feel the mighty power of God. Heal these little children. Heal them in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, as I pray for Brother Richard, I ask You to heal in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. As I feel the same quickening that came up, that brought Jesus up from the dead. Heal Jesus in Your name. Hallelujah. I really feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, heal this little child in the lovely name of Your Son, Jesus. Heal for Your glory. Father, in the name of Jesus, remember this request tonight in Jesus' lovely name. Heal in Jesus' name. Grant it, Lord, right now. Heal in the name of Jesus. Grant it in Jesus' name. Father, while I feel the mighty anointing of God tonight, I thank You for this anointing that I feel, Jesus. I thank You because You're worthy. Heal, will it tonight. Oh God, I feel You now, right now. Heal, Jesus. Heal, Jesus. Grant His desire. Grant it in Jesus' name, Father, right now. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as I pray for Bill, many scars and wounds, troubles. But, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I love You, Jesus, tonight. Heal, Jesus. Grant that little baby a healing. In Jesus' name. Grant it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I feel God.
Pray for me and my wife. Okay.
Must everybody remember Brother Azale? This coming week, he goes down to Macon, and it really represents a great turn of event. Really. Really and truly it does. It denotes the coming in of Benjamin, which is the changing of the government. You follow me? From Atlanta to Macon, Georgia. You follow me? A lot we could say about that tonight, but if you're spiritual, you can understand. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as I lay hands upon Brother Zale, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus tonight, though I be unworthy, Lord, to come to you, yet, Lord, you're worthy. Through Jesus' name, as I feel the anointing right now, in the name of Jesus, heal this body. Give peace to this mind. Give strength and determination. Help him to do a work for you. Give him perseverance, understanding, and wisdom, and anointing. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for Sister Sally. Father, I recall the first time in Olive Branch, Lord, when they stepped up to be prayed for and gave $1,000 to the work, Lord, I remember. I'm asking you tonight in Jesus' name and in remembrance of their efforts and labor. Oh, God, remember Sister Sally. And though she's been troubled, Jesus, I want you to move the troubling spirit. And in the name of Jesus, heal Jesus. Give her peace. Help her to believe. Break every yoke. Help her to stand with a companion and be one in strength. In the name of Jesus, I feel you doing it now. In the name of the Lord, right now. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Fathers, we pray for Brother Gary tonight. Troubles and worries and heartaches, Lord, always befall the man of God. But you are our strength. You're our help, our defense, are covered in the time of storm. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, right now, touch Brother Gary. Bring peace. Calm the troubled waters of his soul. In the name of Jesus. I feel you making the way right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I pray for these little children in the lovely name of Jesus. Heal in Jesus' name right now. In the name of Jesus. Touch these little children, Father. Heal them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for Johnny tonight. I'm thankful for your word and faith. Lord, be merciful. Stretch out your healing hand to Johnny. Help him to believe with all of his heart, to trust in the merits of the Lord. Heal Jesus. Forgive and touch. Lead him and anoint him. Guide him in the name of Jesus. Father, bring that anointing to his soul to let him speak the words of soberness. Help him to believe. Help him to have wisdom and to do a work. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, bless these little children tonight. In Jesus' darling name, heal their little bodies. Touch them for Jesus' sake tonight, my Lord. In Jesus' name, touch this little lady in Jesus' name, Father. Father, touch our sister tonight. Bring peace like a river. Peace, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, right now. Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, touch these little children. Jesus' name, Father, touch their little bodies tonight. Help them in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for my sister tonight. Lord, the restlessness, Lord of the Spirit, the trouble in mind, but hope against hope, Jesus, that you'll hear. Lord, that you'll make things right. And I know you will. I feel her faith in you right now. In the name of Jesus, hear from heaven, Jesus. Hear from heaven. I know that you're doing it now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Right now. Father, touch this little baby. In Jesus' sweet name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, touch these children. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as we pray for this request, in the name of Jesus tonight, I love you, Lord, and I believe, heal Jesus, save that soul, save it in the name of Jesus, Father, for your name's sake, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Father, as we pray for Stevie tonight, whatever the desire of his heart is, he said if we delight ourselves in you, you would give it to us. I believe tonight. I believe in the resurrection, the life, the healing, Jesus. Forgive, heal, bless this life and this home. Bring it to pass. Bring it to pass. Bring it to pass. In Jesus' name. Father, heal this little child. In Jesus' name. Father, tonight, touch Willie. Father, be with him and help him. Give him the understanding that he needs, Father. Direct his path. Lord, you said if we'd acknowledge you in all of our ways, you would direct our path. I want you to do it, Jesus. I want you to do it. I want you to do it. Direct Willie's path in Jesus' name. Right now, I feel your anointing. Increase his faith. Help him to believe in Jesus' name. Fathers, I pray for Bill tonight. Grant your blessings. Father, you said, let not our heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Help Bill tonight not to be troubled, but to believe. Thou hast remembered him, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we pray for Brother Bobby, touch Bobby, Father. Help him to keep his mind stayed on Jesus. Help him to believe. Oh God, as Satan's spirit struck at him tonight as he sat back there, Lord, you saw him shake it off, Lord, and go on with you and keep a clean heart. Father, I want you to bless him. Help him in the name of Jesus. Heal his body, Father. Watch over his family. Anoint him and bless him. Open his understanding. Jesus, be with him. Help him in your name. Help him not to be bitter, but to be tender. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Fathers, we pray for Brother John tonight. Lord, I pray that Thy Spirit, O God, would rest upon Brother John Jameson. Lord, increase his understanding, increase his anointing, increase his faith. Give him perseverance, give him a drive. Oh Lord, help him to believe. Help him to believe. Help him to believe. I ask it in the name of Jesus tonight. The yoke, Lord, that would try to weave itself about Brother John, that would try to hinder, confuse, to tear up his mind, Lord, that he might not know the direction of God or the thing of God. I want you to move it. I want you to move it. Help him to concentrate upon Thee and not upon evangelism, but upon Thee, that You might open the doors, Father. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, increase his faith in Jesus' name. Fathers, I pray for Brother Tommy tonight. I pray that You would touch Tommy, help him. God, help him to be a man of God, a man of faith. Jesus' name, I feel his faith right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' wonderful name.